You have your Bibles, would you turn please to that passage that we read together, 2 Chronicles and chapter 33. And let's look to the Lord and ask for his blessing to be upon the preaching of his word to our hearts. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy love and mercy. We thank thee for the song that's in our heart. Lord, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. We praise you, Lord Jesus, that thou art still in the soul-saving business. We pray now for thy help, Lord, to preach the word that you've laid upon our heart. We pray that indeed it will prove to be a blessing to all, even be the means tonight of that, Lord, hammer that would break the hardened rock in pieces, and that sinners in this place will be wonderfully and gloriously saved. Close us in with thyself, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak tonight on the glory of God in the conversion of Manasseh. As you and I read the Bible, we can see very, very clearly, except a man or woman or boy and girl is converted, they shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 3, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that is the message from the lips of Christ. And it is a message from the Word of God. Doesn't matter who you are, friends. Doesn't matter where you're from. If you're not converted, you'll not be in heaven. As I travel sometimes to preach in different places in the morning, I had to preach in Ballyclare this morning. I would put on the radio to listen to that church program. I don't know the name of it. But I listened just with interest and curiosity to hear what have they got to say. And I'm very, very disappointed what I hear. The last three times I've listened to it, there's been no mention of salvation. No mention of conversion. No mention of the blood. No mention that Christ is the only way of salvation. It's all works. It's all religion. I'm glad tonight that we belong to the Free Presbyterian Church that preaches salvation through the blood, and that preaches that men and women must be converted to be saved. And that's the message to you tonight. If you're not converted, if you do not be turned around, if you do not repent, you'll not be saved. It doesn't matter what you say you have tonight. It doesn't matter what you say, dear friends, that you believe. It doesn't matter what you say that you have done. It doesn't matter. If you're not converted, you'll never be in heaven. Conversion is necessary. And in our reading tonight, we have read perhaps the greatest conversion in the Bible. One of the greatest, if not the greatest. A man who was King Manasseh. A man who is nothing short than a wicked monster. Yet the astounding thing about this man who was held in sin, he was converted. He got converted. He received Christ as his Savior. And he was made a divine trophy of divine grace. He was converted. Now let me say this. All conversions should bring glory to God and not to man. That's, everything is done to the joy of God, of course. Apostle Paul summed up his whole life in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He didn't take any of the praise. The Apostle Paul, who was a mighty man, he didn't take any of the glory. He says, well, it's all because of God. It's all because of God that I am what I am, you see. In conversions, we can behold the guilt of mankind, but we can also see the glory of God. Ephesians 1 verse 12 speaks of people who were saved, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. You see, God is glorified in salvation. God is glorified in conversions of sinners. And nowhere is this seen more than in the conversion of Manasseh. A man who was full of wickedness was converted. Yet as we look at this, we can see the glory of God in the conversion of Manasseh. And I want to say the first thing about God being glorified was God's patience is glorified in this man's conversion. See, one of the attributes of God is patience. And God is one who displays great patience and long suffering towards mankind. God is a patient God. It says in Psalm 145, verse 8, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy." The Bible tells us God is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, when I read the Bible, I read about the Lord. He is a God of patience. He is a God who has much long suffering towards those who are wicked and to those who are sinful. You cannot fail to see the glory of the patience of God displayed in the life of this man. Because here we see the Lord standing by at the early part of this man's life, and the Lord stood by and He watched this man commit some of the most horrible sins even before the face of the Lord. The summary of the life of Manasseh is found in verse 2. "He did that which was evil in the sight," listen, "of the Lord." In verse 6 it says, "He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord." This was a summary of his life. He was a man that did evil, listen, in the sight of the Lord. It was not done out of the sight of God. But before God, he committed great sin. He committed much evil. We see his idolatry. Because it tells us in verse 3 how about the high places he built them. And he reared up altars for Balaam and made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven. And he served them and he built altars in the house of the Lord. Oh, we see the rebellion of his idolatry. We see him rebelling against the teachings of his father. Read the early chapters. Read about Hezekiah, a godly man. Man who restored the true worship again to the temple and to Jerusalem. And yet, a man even in Hezekiah who brought revival to the land. But Manasseh, his son, rejected it all. He rejected it all. He trampled it into the dust. And we find here when we come to the Bible that he set up his old idols unto Balaam. He worshipped all the host of heaven. And David would say this, he worshipped anything but God. He said in his heart, "I will not worship the Lord. I will not bow down before him. I will worship Balaam. I will worship the sun. I will worship the stars." That's what he did. Think about the region of his sin. It says in verse 4, he built altars in the house of the Lord. It says in verse 5, he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. In verse 7, again you have the house of God. He defied God to his face. He says, I'm not going to worship God the way it says in the scriptures. I'm going to bring in all the idols. I'll worship in my own way. And he reared up these idols and his own idol in the very house of God. That's where he done it. Just didn't do it outside. He defied God to his face. Can you see him? Can you see him, dear friends, with all the people gathered around him, bringing in his idolatry into the house of God? Can you see him bowing down before these idols? Shaking his fist, in a sense, even in the face of God. Yet admire the patience and long suffering of God. Admire that.
You know, God could have wiped them out in a moment. God could just have stopped them like a fly. And yet, friends, we find the Lord didn't do this. The Lord could have took them and cast them down into hell. That's what he deserved. But oh, do you see the patience of God? You see, dear friends, God didn't do it. You see, his patience is being glorified in conversion. His patience. Think about not only his idolatry, his iniquity in relation to demons in verse 6. It talks there in verse 6 about in use enchantments and the witchcraft and the wizard and all. He worshipped the devil, familiar spirits. And the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 18, verse 10 to 13, that these things were forbidden. But oh, it didn't matter with Manasseh. He was one who worshipped demons. He had a familiar spirit. He had his wizards. And yet God didn't touch him. God still restrained his hand from hitting him. Think in relation to his children. Because at verse 6 he sacrificed his children. He caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Even sacrificed his children. Placed them into the fire. I will worship my gods. I will give my children to my gods. I will place them through the fire. Do you see him? Taking his little children. And he put them through the fire. And there they were screaming. And there they were, dear friends, put to death. Listen, and God saw him. Because notice in verse 2, he did this evil in the sight of the Lord. God watched him. God saw him do these things. And yet the Lord restrained his hand from smiting him. He committed murder as well. Because it says, 2 Kings 21, verse 16, moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. He slaughtered people. Innocent people. And so much of the Bible talking about what he did here tells us that he filled Jerusalem with blood. That's what God says. Send his soldiers out, killing this one and killing that one. A man of wickedness. A man of blood. And yet God didn't touch him. God withheld his hand from smiting him. You think about his dominion in verse 9 of his sin, of iniquity, because he said he made Israel, Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. He made people to do even more evil. He had a great influence over the people. Wasn't just Manasseh doing this. He got many followers. And the people of Israel and the people of Judah, they all followed here Manasseh. What a life he was living. Wickedness, sin, idolatry, hatred of God and of his people. And yet the Lord didn't touch him. You know, God could have cut him off in a moment. But then his patience wouldn't have been glorified, would it? You see, the same patience that is displayed towards Manasseh is displayed towards us. The Bible says in Psalm 130 and verse 3, if thy Lord should his mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Think even today of the patience of God. Think of what God sees. Think what he sees as he looks down upon this world. What wickedness. How we quiver and shake when we read of the filth and the abominations and the sins that we read about has been committed. But remember this, God saw them being done. And you know, he could cut them off in a moment, friends. In a moment. The Bible says, because there is wrath, beware. Beware, dear friends, lest he cut you off in a moment. God continually watches this world today, the human race, sinning before him. What, worshipping other gods, breaking his commandments, trampling underfoot the blood of his dear son. Yet, for this moment, he restrains his wrath from falling upon the sinner. He watches him. I don't know how many years God watched Manasseh. But I'm sure it was a few years.
watched him in all his rebellion, and watched him in all of his sin, and yet we find here God's patience being glorified in his conversion. God could have cut him off in a moment, but he restrained his hand. And he sees you unsaved tonight. How many years have you lived in sin? How many years have you rejected Christ to be your Savior? How many years have you hardened your heart in the sight of God? God could cut you off in one moment, yet he hasn't. Yet he hasn't. Maybe you've walked out of a car crisis. Maybe you have been ill. The Lord could cut you off in a moment. Yet today you're in the land of the living. Dear friends, his patience is glorified. It will not always be the case, I must add that to you. But God's patience is glorified in this case of this man Manasseh. Time and time and time he watched him, but he didn't touch him. There's many of us here tonight, we're in the clubs, the pubs, the filth, the abomination of the world, and the Lord could justly have cut us off, but he didn't do it. Why? His patience. He's patient. He's patient with you tonight, unsaved. But he'll not always be patient. I want to say it to you, he'll not always be. But in conversion, his patience with the sinner is glorified. He watched all this. Could you imagine it, friends? His patience is glorified. In the conversion of Manasseh also, God's wisdom was glorified. The wisdom of God here is seen in this man's conversion. The Bible does say, of course, in 1 Timothy 1 verse 17, of the Lord, that he is the only wise God. Think of the situation Manasseh was in. He was deep in the pit. Do you know anybody who's deep down as Manasseh? Do you know anyone? Do you know anyone who worship witches and devils and demons? Do you know anyone who offers their children onto the devil and onto idols? Do you know anyone who's bringing idolatry into the house of the Lord and all these things that we have read about? Do you know anyone personally? I don't know anyone. With all these sins. But here this man deep in sin, held by the devil. Who could devise a plan to save him? Who? Could you write the plan to save Manasseh? Could I? No. But you see, friends, none but God. Because God is glorified in the conversion of this man. And God's patience was glorified. And God's wisdom is glorified in his conversion. And we can see here what God did. God sent the prophets. In verse 10. In 2 Chronicles 33. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Now what happened here was this. God sent the prophets. Some people say this was Joel and Nathan and Habakkuk. And he sent them. And these men of God, they came and they preached to Manasseh. And they preached to the people. And no doubt they warned them and exhorted them to turn from their sins. But it says here that they wouldn't hear. You see, he heard the word of the Lord. He heard the word of God. Now, isn't that amazing? Would you and I have thought of such a plan? But this was the Lord. His wisdom is Lord. He sent his word. He sent the scriptures. He sent the prophets. And then he sent the soldiers in verse 11. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Syria. And so he sent the soldiers. Persecution. Because we find here that this man, with all his filth and sin, and he was king, remember? Bound with fetters. Chained and lost everything. Everything he had, his home, his place, his palace, his kingdom, his family, his possessions, everything was taken from him. The Lord has given him a wake up call. You know what God's doing? He's bringing this man to his knees. That's what he's doing. Brings him down. For God's going to save him. He sends the prophets. He sends the soldiers, the people. He sends pain to this man, because it says in verse 12, and when he was in affliction, that word affliction can mean distress. In Psalm 31 verse 10, the psalmist says, for I am in trouble. That's the same word, you see. What does God do? He brings trouble. That's what the Lord is doing. He brings trouble into this man's life. And here is this man who was king, in a sense he thought he had all the freedom, he had all the power, and he could do whatever he wanted, but now he finds he can't. Now he finds he's in prison, he's in chains, he's in bondage, he's in affliction, and he finds something else, he's in trouble. You see, dear friends, God. This is the wisdom of God. And the wisdom, God in his wisdom, he's turning the screw on this man. Dealing with him. This man now feels his pain. He never felt this before. Never had any concern before. But I tell you this, friends, a different story. It's all done in the wisdom of God. You can see his prayer in the wisdom of God, because God brings him to this place where he cries. That's what God did. In verse 12, when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication. And the Lord, what? The Lord brings him to repentance. The Lord brings him to this place where he looks to the Lord God of his fathers. Oh, beforehand, he rejected the gospel. He rejected Christ. He did whatever he wanted. But not anymore, friends. See, the wisdom of God in the matter of a convert, he brings him right down. He brings this man to the place. There's only one can save him, Christ. And he besought the Lord. He cried unto the Lord with all of his heart, you see. That's the wisdom of God, you see, in salvation. God is glorified. Only God could reach him. Only the Lord could do this. Oh, the wonder and the matter of salvation to do with us, you see. God sends the scriptures to us, the prophets. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why, dear sinner friend, you have heard the gospel from this pulpit many, many times. Heard about your sin, heard of your need of Christ, heard of the love of the Lord Jesus and how he died to save us. And only the blood, only the blood of Christ can cleanse you. And we're not singing tonight. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Who could think it all up? Who could plan or the way of our salvation? None but God. It wasn't man who planned it. It was the wisdom of the Lord. And the Bible says in Romans 3 verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That's the wisdom of God. How could God save us and yet be just to himself? How can he justify us and let us go free? Well, he planned it all. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world, and the Lord Jesus became our sin bearer and our sacrifice, and he shed his blood and he took our punishment. This is all the wisdom of God. You see, dear friends, it was the wisdom of God in this man's conversion. And the wisdom of God is glorified in our conversion. It was nobody else, only the only wise God that reached us with the gospel of Christ. Has the Lord been speaking to you? Has the Lord been sending, in a sense, the prophets to you, dear sinner friend in this meeting? Speaking to you. Maybe tonight you're feeling conviction that you've never heard it before. Maybe the Lord has been dealing with you in a manner with trouble. He has sent the scriptures, and he has, in a manner, has sent the soldiers. God sometimes has to do that to get people to listen. And I believe that. I believe many people today are just happy in life.
in a sense, worldly sense, comfortable in their life. And that's when the wisdom of God steps in, friends. And the trouble comes, and persecutions and pain. What? To bring you on to Himself. That's what the Lord did with this one. Oh, the wisdom of God was glorified. God had a plan to save him. Thank God there's a plan to save you, Christ Jesus. Come into the world to save sinners. No other plan. Their churches today are drawing up their own schemes and their own plans. It'll never save anybody. The wisdom of God was glorified in the conversion of Manasseh. He blessed the day the Lord drew up this plan. He blessed the day the Lord sent the prophets and their friends, in a sense, the people. The Lord sent persecution. That the Lord brought him down into prison. That the Lord brought him right down into the pit. That the Lord brought him right down to that time that he cried and prayed. All the glory is given to God in salvation. The wisdom of God is glorified. I believe also when this God's mercy was glorified in the conversion of this man. It is, of course, one of the great attributes of God is mercy. In 1 Kings 3, verse 6, Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy." And in Psalm 103, verse 17, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting." And God's mercy was glorified in this man's conversion. Look what God did. The Lord forgave him. God forgive him. I said there in the verse 13, "And he prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication." Now, when you read that God heard the supplication, it means this, that God answered it. And there he was, Manasseh, this man who worshipped devils, who put his children through the fire, who brought idols into the house of the God. He cried unto the Lord, and he prayed in a sense, "God, have mercy on me." You know, dear friends, God give him mercy. God forgive him. The Lord forgive him for every sin you see. Oh, dear friends, the death of the mercy of the Lord, he heard. Supplication. And God forgive him. How true those words are, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I asked you a question tonight. Would you have forgiven him? Would you forgive such a man if he did all these horrible, wicked crimes against you? Would I forgive him? Probably had to think about it for a while. But dear friends, God forgive him. God forgive him. He might have been a great sinner, but the Lord is an even greater Savior. Oh, unsaved tonight, then you take heart from this conversion. If Manasseh can find mercy, then so can you. So can you. There are some people who think, "Well, I am so wicked and I am so bad and I have gone on so far in sin. There's no mercy for me. And there's no hope for me. And if I came to Christ, he would not save me." Dear friends, if the Lord can save and give mercy to Manasseh, he can give mercy to you. The Lord heard him. And listen, the Lord forgave him. Every sin he committed was gone and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you see. The Lord Jesus did not say, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise." Do you see how God's mercy is glorified in the conversion of this man? God forgive him. Isn't that wonderful? We've got a great God tonight. Great Savior to preach. Mercy there was great, we were singing. And grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There's mercy with the Lord. Have you found this mercy? Can I ask you a question tonight on saved? Do you want this mercy? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want everlasting life, you see? Listen, there's mercy. But the Lord, this man, stinking with sin, held by the devil, came to Christ and he got mercy. There's mercy to you. But you must ask for it. You must come to this place where Manasseh came. And you must cry to God for mercy. There's mercy with the Lord. Would you trust him? God's mercy was glorified in the conversion of this man. And God's power was also, can I say, fourthly, glorified, because it says there at the end that the Lord brought him again to Jerusalem. He brought him again. Now, the power of God is glorified in the conversion of Manasseh. The Lord didn't leave him in the prison cell. He brought him out of it. He brought him home. And Josephus, who the historian, a Jewish historian, said that all the rest of his time, speaking of Manasseh, he was so changed for the better that he was looked upon as a very happy man. And when Manasseh came home again to Jerusalem, Josephus wrote down these words, and the Jews were speaking about Manasseh, that he was changed. They couldn't believe the same man through the gates. Who is he? It's King Manasseh. He's changed. And the whole conversation, but why is he changed? What has happened to this man? You see, dear friends, it was this: God changed him. Because the power of God is glorified in salvation. The Lord brought him up from the pit and changed him. He's thinking about his defense, and verse 14 tells us by building a wall, the wall of separation. That's what a sinner does when he gets saved. He fortifies himself against the sin of the world and the devil, closes himself off from the world. You can read in verse 15 about disowning his idols. In verse, he took away all the strange gods and cast them out, and the people watched him. They threw them all out, friends. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9, talk about those Christians, how you turn to God from idols to serve the true and the living God. You can see the power been manifested in his devotion. Verse 16, listen, he repaired the altar of the Lord. Do you see him? The altar of the Lord, he's changed. He's the blood, you see. Christ is center of his life. He's worshiping Christ. He's serving the Lord Jesus now with all of his heart. And his demand in verse 16, he sends out, commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. He's a changed man. What has happened to Manasseh? You see, dear friends, God has changed him. As the power of God is glorified in his conversion. Same happened to the Apostle Paul when he was saved. It says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he's the Son of God. What a change. And we were saying, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus, what came into my heart. And also could sing the same words. You see, the power of God was glorified. And what changed him? God. No one's safe tonight. Only the Lord can change you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All, behold, all things have become new, you see. The Lord changed him. The Lord can do it for you. He did it for me. He has done it for others in this meeting. The day we came to Christ, he changed us. He can change you tonight. And he can save you. And dear friends, he changed this man. And people, as I said, your faces said, they looked upon him. He was a changed man. They could see the great change. Because the glory of God is seen in the conversion of Manasseh. Can I say lastly and very quickly, God's love is glorified as well. One of the great attributes of God is love. Tell me this, friends, and be honest with your own heart. If this man lived in Kikil, would you have loved him? Would you have loved him? You heard all about him, putting his children through the fire, and his witchcrafts and everything. Would you have loved him? I wouldn't have loved him. I would have hated him, I'd be honest. I wouldn't have liked him one bit of him. But God loved them. Isn't that amazing, isn't it? We were singing tonight at the commencement of this service, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love to be. And God's love is glorified in his conversion. And God loved them. Amazing, isn't it? It's amazing God loves you as well. Make me as bad as this man, but I tell you, we were bad enough. Oh, the love of God. Listen, dear sinner friend, the love of the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave
His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but everlasting life. God's love was glorified in the salvation of Manasseh. Listen, are you saved? Are you converted? Have you come to Christ? If not, I pray tonight that you will come. And the Lord will work with you. Maybe the Lord has been patient to you. As I have said in the first point, he'll not always be patient. His long suffering will not always be extended to you. It had to be where? He'll take you away, the Bible says, with a stroke. There's heaven, yes, there's hell. And here on saved, that's where you're going. You need to be saved. And all the love of God can reach you tonight. Would you look to Christ? Would you come to Christ? How long are you going to go on? How long are you going to go on rejecting Christ? How long are you going to go on in sin? Turn tonight and come to the Lord Jesus, and he will save you. Remember what I said in the scripture, him that cometh at me, I nowise cast out. Would you be saved? If the Lord has spoken anyone's heart tonight, we'd be glad to speak with you. Do remain behind. Don't need me, of course, but I'd be glad to open the Bible and show you even more clearly how to be saved and how to know it. And we trust tonight you'll come to Christ with all of your heart. The glory of God in the salvation of Manasseh. Let's all pray. Loving Father, we thank you for your love and great mercy. We pray that thou would write thy word upon hearts. We pray especially, Father, for the unsaved, that thou would deal with them. Lord, if you can save Manasseh, wicked monster, thou can save them. We pray that thou would visit us with thy mercy, and Lord, with thy love and grace and salvation, and draw sinners to yourself. Bless us now to go our separate ways, and take us our homes in safety. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.